All right, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. I'm glad you're here. You're going to be glad you're here, because the Lord has a word for us today. Bible says, Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." What a bummer. "These are the ways in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with..." Can I get a witness on that, by the way?
Amen.
"It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in the kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Lord, we come before you this morning, knowing that you are mighty. Lord, knowing that you touch people in this very room, Lord, that you have plans for us, plans for our hope, plans for our future, plans to make us better than we are, Lord. That you would guide us and direct us, Lord, the future that you have for us. Bind every distraction today, Lord. We give you praise. Ask all that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Well, a lot of news this week. A lot of news about the economy. Not much of it is very good, right? It's kind of scary out there. Can I get a witness on that? And I had heard about a contractor who had been out of work for a while. And there's a little bit of good news. He got some work. Got some work for tile layers. Mike lays tile. Anybody else lay tile around here? Just Mike? Yeah, you were laying tile? It'd be nice to get a tile job, right? Laying tile, you get paid, right? And it's good pay. And so he got a little bit of work, and he went back to his tile layers, and they said, "Hey, I got some work. Are you ready to come back to work?" And they said, "No way. We are making $469 a week on unemployment, and we're surfing." Too busy surfing for work. We're in a series called The Church, A Place for You. And I have to ask you this question today. It's a question about the church. Is the church more like laying tile, or is it more like going surfing? Well, we'll come back to that in a moment. Talk about being planned for transformation. Last week, we started talking about the church. We talked about our Lord Jesus Christ, right? Right, we did. I'm trying to get your attention. I know you guys are too busy thinking about surfing now. All right, back landing, okay. We're talking about Jesus and talk about how Jesus was given a seat in heaven, that he was placed above every rule, every authority, every power, every dominion, every title in this age and in the age to come. Now, that's pretty awesome. Amen? And then we learned that the church is the body of Christ, that there is a link there, that his power and his authority are manifest in the church, As we said, the church is a place for you. So I have to ask you again, is the church more like laying tile, or is the church more like going surfing? Now, I have to ask you this other question. Is God going to manifest his power in you so that you can play? Is God going to manifest his power in you for your leisure? Does God need to? No, and you are great at... Aren't you guys good at playing? Aren't you guys great at leisure?
Yes.
It's okay. You can say yes. It's okay. I'm not going to jump on you if you do. See, we don't need God's power to play. Now, as we read through these verses, we read about God accomplishing things through you. We read about God accomplishing things through the church. And my question is, are you willing? Are you ready? The church is a place for transformation. Let's take a look. Point number one. Rewinding back to the front, making poor choices. How many of you are good at making poor choices?
Oh, yeah,
I had a whole lifetime. Paul starts off writing to this church in Ephesus. As for you, you were dead. A poor place to start. But you got to admit, when you start off dead, everything is uphill from dead, right? I mean, everything gets better from dead. So he says, you were dead in your transgressions and your sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. You know who that guy is? Yeah, you know who that guy is. He is the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. You know some disobedient folks? Go outside. You can see a bunch of disobedient folks. All of us also lived among them at one time, doing what they do, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were objects of wrath. And Paul says we were dead. Dead, a poor place to start. Now, Paul uses an interesting word here. He uses dead in our transgressions. I looked that word up for you. I won't tell you what it is in Greek, but this word means intentional or unintentional sin. Get this kind of feeling of aimless wandering. But a focus on sin, and as I read these verses here, the stuff that we were into wasn't really all that unintentional. Whoops, look where I'm at. We got pretty good at sin, and we were very intentional about sin. I got a bunch of pictures for you today. Anybody recognize that? That's supposed to be a picture of Vegas, right? And Sin City is what they call it, right? You go there, and there is intent. Now, I mean, look at this guy, man. I mean, you can't really pick it up. You got martini glasses. This guy is out for transgression. Can you see it in his face? He's saying, I am out for transgression here. And Paul says that we were dead as we lived like that. Now, we have got some fantastic local examples of transgression. This very weekend, out on Fiesta Island. Anybody know what's going on? Who said that?
Over the line.
Over the line. I hope you don't know about that day. Right now, 50,000 people gathered around this tournament. Is something like baseball in the sand with scantily clad women. I'll show you some pictures, but I can't show you pictures because it's pretty scantily clad out there. And it is just, I tell you, you can go out there and you can follow the ways of this world easily. Easily. Just drag you right along. Last weekend, anybody remember what that was? 4th of July. 1.3 million people flocked to the coast to be part of the 4th of July. That's Pacific Beach. Yeah. PB, last weekend. Crazy. Now, I heard an appointment or a report. Check it out. Focus back in on me. 92 people arrested. DUI last weekend. DUI, $7,000. Think it'd be higher? $7,000, you can go get one. No, guess what? Nobody starts off saying, hey, you know what? I think I'm going to get a DUI this weekend. Have you ever done that? I have two DUIs when I was 18. I did not start off the night saying, oh, I'm going to get thrown in jail today. That's my plan for the day. No, there's this aimless kind of wandering, you know, this kind of, he says, you were dead in your transgressions. And we have all kinds of local opportunity to get lost in that. You know what I'm talking about? I know. Some of you guys are going, I don't know what you're talking about. DUIs. Other news this week. DUIs. Now, Lindsay Lohan, my daughter is 15, okay, and my son is 13. And we watch Walt Disney shows like The Love Bug and this nice girl making tons of money, right? And she turned 18, right? And we're talking being lost in transgression. And so she shifted from being, you know, Miss Nice and saying, you know what, I think I can handle this on my own. And she starts making some choices and starts saying, hey, look, I'm making more money now. And then you know what happens? You kind of get a little bit lost in your transgressions. And it's just like downhill. So you're talking about being dead in your transgressions. Sad is right, but I think you can get a feel for what it's like to be lost, to be dead in sin. Oh, yeah. Amen? Amen? All right, that's what I'm shooting for. Making poor choices, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead, even when we were, there is hope for that girl. Amen? I'll tell you what, we live because there is hope. There was hope for us, there's hope for her. And he says, if we were dead in our transgression, it is by grace you have been saved, and God comes to our rescue. Glory to God. God is good. Amen? God gives us life when there was only death. Why? Because of his grace, because of his unmerited favor, because he loves you. He said, I want to reach out and I want to save you. Ephesians 1:5 says that he wanted to give us life, and it gave him great pleasure to do that. And I think we can relate to this. And we see it in kids. I mean, you see this kid, you know, and if that is your kid, you go, ah, you know, there's this little kind of, whoa, what did you do? But then there's just this endearment of, oh, let me clean you up. I mean, if you saw Marco at his party yesterday, just running around, I heard he hurt his arm. Somebody jumped on his arm, and he had a picture of Woody on his arm, you know, for the thing. He says, Woody broke his arm. Didn't Woody break his arm in one of the shows? No, he got torn or something like that. But anyway, and you see this kid, right? And you want to clean this kid up. And then you just want to cuddle him and say, oh. You know what I'm talking about, ladies? Yeah. Now, for your kid. Your kid, your teen. And you see, your teen lost. And what do you want to do? You want to come to the rescue. You want to affect change. You want to affect a transformation in that child's life. That sentiment is what Paul is trying to convey to us, that he wants to save you. He wants you to be transformed in your existence, in your life, so that you are not dirty and you are not despondent, but you are transformed. How does he do that? He makes us alive in Christ. I will give them an undivided heart. This is the scripture that we talked about, Erica. We're praying with Addie. I will give them an undivided heart, and I'll put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. And it is just because God wants to that he does that for you. which moves us to point two. God is making changes. God making a change in your life?
Yes.
You liking those changes?
Yes.
Stephanie, you're sitting back there in the second row. You notice any changes in your daughter? I'm telling you, we are seeing some changes in Tashiana after that Future Quest. Eddie, your son Anthony, a little bit of a transformation going on there?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it is nice to see some transformations. I see transformations in you guys as well. Up there in that baptism tank last week, it is wonderful to behold. God raised us up with Christ. God raised you up from where? From your position of death. From the grave. He took us out of the grave and he seated us with Christ. Where? In the heavenly realms. God gives us a change of status. God gives us such a radical transformation of our status from being dead in the ways of this world to being alive with Christ seated in heaven. And so many of us, I mean, I talk about it all the time, I am ready for heaven. My body falling apart. I'm ready for that new body. But what Paul says is you are seated. Notice this word, seated. You notice that is past tense. You are already seated in heaven. There is already a participation in the kingdom of God. Paul is saying that you don't have to wait. Last week, let me rewind a little bit. We talked about what happened with Jesus. Jesus was dead on the cross, laying in the tomb. Amen? And God revealed his massive power, his mighty power, and he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. And what else? He placed him above all rule, all authority, all power, all dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but in the age to come. Glory to God. And what do we get? We are seated with him. That is the position that God gives us from what? A position of death. God says that you have a seat in heaven right now. That's pretty good. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. All right. B, God lines us up for the good stuff. That position in heaven puts us in line for some good stuff. Says before, get back there. And he raises him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. There is good stuff that is heading towards us. Good stuff that you will not want to miss out on. Like what? Bible says, the incomparable riches of his grace. So how can I describe this to you? What are you used to? Well, we talk about money, but it's bigger than money. So we're talking about treasure. Amen? Let me try again. So talk about food. Lisa says, it always comes down to food. Talk about, you know, like a piece of pizza. We had pizza last night after prayer. It was good, right?
Yeah.
But it's not like that. It's bigger than that. It's like a giant pizza. You get what I'm talking about? I mean, it's just like, this is incomparably great riches, man. I mean, you try and get a grip on that. You know, it's kind of like, you know, a drink of water, you know? It's like, oh, I need that. And then just the massiveness of so much water. How can I describe it to you? Oh, yeah. It's incomparable. There's nothing that I can use to describe how awesome and mighty are the riches that you are in line for because you've been seated in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus.
Amen?
Amen? Yeah. Now, what do we got here? Jesus describes it like a wedding banquet. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who is planning a wedding banquet. And the invitations went out. And everybody said, oh, yeah, that's good. I'm lined up. I got my invitation right here. And then he says, but the day of the event came and people were too busy. They had other stuff going on. He bought a field. He got married. He got some oxen. He got all important stuff. Important stuff. You bought a house. Is that important? You bought a field. Is that important? You bought a car. Your wife's got a bad tranny. Is that important? Yes. But folks, I don't care what you got going on. It pales in comparison to the incomparably great riches in Christ Jesus that you are lined up for. So I ask you this question today. What is your focus? What is your purpose? Are you focused on that? Or is there just this mindless wandering in your life and just kind of this transgression thing going on? Because God would transform you from that focus to a new focus. Let's take a look. Choosing better. See, there's choices. God seats us in the heavenly based on faith. Talk about that in a second. But we got to be making good choices here. See, so it's by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. You cannot get here on your own, folks. You cannot get here on your own, and that is a challenge to some because it's a present. It is a gift. Did Marcos get some good stuff last night? Lisa was there after the prayer meeting and running around and all kinds of kids doing stuff, and Marcos running around and said, I want to open the present. I want to open the present. And his mom said, you can open the presents when everybody leaves. He said, okay, everybody can go home now. I want the presents. I want the presents now, right? And so it is a gift. And some people really have a problem with receiving, especially receiving from God. See, this salvation, these incomparably great riches, this position in heaven, this salvation is something you can't get. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't be good enough to get it. Because no matter how good you try to be, you aren't going to be good enough. Now, there's always those who will try. There's always going to be those who are going to try and do good things. Save the world? God is not impressed. You know, we see all kinds of people with their special causes and all that kind of stuff. And some of them are just trying to be good enough. Some want to be good just to be good, but some want to be good. Try to impress God. Say, God, look at all the stuff I did for you. He's not impressed. Why? Because the foundation of it all is arrogance. The foundation of it all is pride. See, we want God to look down at us and see how good we are. Look at how good I'm doing, Lord. And the Lord looks down and sees how much we need some help. Paul tells us, Bible tells us, you get it only one way. By faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. How's that work? Number one, you come to an understanding that you cannot get there on your own. I can't get there. No matter how hard I try, no matter how far I struggle, no matter how much I do, I cannot get where I want to go, God. That's number one. Step number two is realize that God can get you there. I can't do it, but you can, God. That's faith. That's what we need. That's what you need today. All right. God saves us for a purpose. A little uphill lip right here, folks. Watch out. Don't fall off. For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are God's workmanship. God is working on us. Now, you are not the guy in the picture. The guy in the picture is God. You are, it's a door that he's working on. It's like we are God's workmanship. He is honing us. He is sanding us. He is transforming us to be something better. Transforming us into what? Into something that will accomplish good works. So he has something in mind for everybody in this room. He has a purpose for everybody in this room. He uses a word for works. Now, you're not saved by works, but you're saved to works. And this work is like an occupation. It's like a job. It is like the opposite of transgression. The intentional or unintentional sin, you know, just kind of wild and crazy. Here we have intentionality being about the purpose of God for your life. I was over talking with Elizabeth, who's Manny's mom. Sandra's Manny's wife. They've been around a lot lately. And Sandra started this training program for nursing. And she came out in this cool nurse's uniform. It was way cooler than this. I called her yesterday. I said, hey, I want to come over and take a picture of your nursing outfit with your friend that picks you up. She said, well, we don't go back for a while. We'll go back till next week. I said, oh, bummer. She looked a lot better than this. But what I was so impressed was she had her stuff. She was all set to go. You know, her friend was coming to pick her up, and they were going to this school, and they do all kinds of nursing stuff there, and they have patients, and they do work, and they got their gear, and they got their uniform. And it was such a picture of purpose. I go, are you going to work? I go, man, you got a job? I was confused. She goes, no, I'm going to school. And she was dressed so much for purpose. And that's what the Lord wants to do for us. He saves us into this new occupation, this new existence, this new life, this new focus, this new target, you know, away from transgression and into a life of intentional service for Him. So my question is, what are you doing for God? Because some of you right now, I say that and you go, oh, click, boom, bam, bam, bam. You know what was totally stoked today? That reading you did was fantastic. Was that off the hook? That was a new little thing. I got to imagine there's a little uneasiness going into that. Last couple of days, you know, it was awesome. You know, the Lord will call you into stuff like Aaron was talking about today. Man, I've been beat down for the last couple of days. I've just been tired. And the Lord said, you know what? Do something. Do something. And what do you call it? Cruise for kids, cruise for youth, something, you know, ride bikes. You know, I'm wondering, you know, I don't know if the Lord called him to ride from his house to this park. That's not much of a ride. I mean, I could do that ride. But I got to think it's probably a bigger park, a bigger ride with a whole big thing that's going on. So what are you doing for God? God has a plan. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for the church. Mr. Woodbury, I need my wife up here. She's not here, right? Tell her I need her up here. Thank you very much. She's got to play some music for me in a couple of minutes. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for the church. Is anything impossible for God?
No.
No. God can heal the sick. God can raise the dead. God can make a lame man walk, blind man see. Any doubt in your mind? No. See, God has all the resources. God owns the planet. God can do anything. Is there any doubt at all that if God wants to do something, that He's not going to be the limit? No. So what has He done through you? What do you want Him to do through you? Are you ready for God to do something through you? And for some of you today, the answer is no. Why? Because you're dead in your transgressions. I got no room for God in my life. I'm full of me. But if you're willing, and if you would ask God, He would start a spiritual walk in you, a transformation in you. And by faith, you say, Lord, I can't get there on my own, but I know that You can take me there. And He will start a spiritual transformation in your life that starts with a new spiritual life, a new status, and He actually seats you in heaven. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Amen? I know. He's not done there. He seats you in heaven, and then He begins to move you into a new purpose for your life, right? So we're talking about transgression, and we talk about work. We talk about just random, and then we talk about focus. Smiling about that, Jackie? That's good stuff, isn't it? Now check it out. What do you got to do? You got a responsibility. You got to manage this. Because God will seat you in the heavenly, and then you begin to move towards that. And we move towards that in varying degrees, varying rates, various paces. Where are you at? Because you might have started that process, and you're barely right here. You know, and it's a little bit rough. God wants to make a transformation for you. What are we talking about in this whole series? We're talking about the church. See, we talk about this process being transformed in you, and what do we call it? We call it the church. See, as you begin to move away from the world into the church, and there's some varying, you know, I don't know where that edge goes, you know, because we kind of grow into the church. Amen?
Amen.
Plan for transformation. It's a plan for you. Where are you at today? Lisa, would you come up and sing? Lord, we come before you this morning. Lord, some of us show up here today and we're dead. I'm just believing right now that if you come in here and you are dead in your transgression, the Lord right now is letting you know that. He's probably been letting you know all along this whole time. And you're not feeling real good. You might be feeling like Lindsay Lohan did in those pictures. Not real good. But I'm telling you, God has a desire to begin a transformation work in you. I'm going to pray right now. We got a couple other things to talk about. You come in here today and you're just feeling dead. You're feeling that you got no hope, that you got no future, that you are lost in your transgressions, and you're saying, Lord, I don't want to leave like this anymore. Want to walk out of this building, you want to have life, you want to have a new hope, a new future, you want to have a new spirit inside you, and you're saying, Lord, do a work in me. I don't know where you're at. I don't know where your struggle is, but the Lord does. And we're going to be talking about other things, about making that shift, you know, after you're seated in heaven, after you've, and if you're struggling with the Lord, that's not what this is about right now. You got no struggle with the Lord because you come in here and you're dead, and dead people don't struggle. Nobody's looking around this morning, but the Lord is speaking to your heart, and he's saying, I have new life for you. Are you going to ask?